morning, and welcome back to your morning conversation here on KXCV KRNW. I'm Jeremy Werner. Joining me this morning is Associate Professor of Political Science at Northwest, Dr. Kim Casey. She joins us anytime we want to take a historical look at something political happening right here in America or in our area. And she joins us once again after the very historic fight in Washington, D.C. that we saw unfold last week for Speaker of the House. So the first thing it's difficult to know where to start because a week ago, still fighting over who's going to be Speaker of the House, and now, you know, we're past that and we're starting to enter the, beginning of, you know, the work that happens in the House. And I guess the first thing I want to know is, you know, when the Speaker fight was happening, why is it that it hadn't happened in 100 years prior?
A few reasons. One had to do with the circumstances 100 plus years ago. So there was a situation prior to the Civil War where a couple of things were going on. One, of course, was the issues that were associated with the Civil War. There was a lot of factionalism, which then tended to divide the votes within Congress for the Speaker. And by factionalism, I mean within the parties themselves. And that wasn't just associated, however, with the issues pertaining to the Civil War. There was more attempts than there have been in the recent past to try and get traction with third parties. So there were just other forces that were dividing votes when it came to the House Speaker. Then after the Civil War, you have a period of largely Republican dominance. And so when one party has pretty good control over the House, then you're not necessarily going to have that problem unless there's a lot of in-party factionalism. And so roughly from the end of the Civil War through the 1930s, that's what's going on. And then in the 1930s, the Democrats really begin to take control of Congress. It won't be every session, but they definitely become a stronger player when it comes to Congress. And so they're getting majorities and trying to decide on who's going to be the Speaker wasn't as difficult. And then the Democrats from mid-1950s onward controlled both houses of Congress. And so you know, any kind of issues that they had with who would be selected as Speaker was going on within the body itself, and the public wasn't necessarily made aware of that. And there may have been a little bit more, I don't know how you would say this, but a kind of a decisive leadership and order when it came to leadership within the parties themselves. And so that may have made the process at least appear to the public to be a little bit easier. Now we have a situation where we have factionalism within our parties, and then you have the polarity between the parties and weak majorities that the parties carry into the House. And so if there's not consensus on who the leadership is, that's what we're seeing.
So I once heard, and I kind of tend to believe it, that politics is all a show. It really has nothing to do with policy. It's basically politicians putting on a play for the public. So my question is, you know, in the 100 years before last week, do we have this kind of infighting behind the scenes, and then publicly they come out and go, everything's fine, we're all on the same page, this is the Speaker?
Yeah, you know, we have to remember that what we saw with the selection of the Speaker hasn't normally been televised in the way we saw it, because typically speaking, the House Speaker controls the access that C-SPAN has to congressional proceedings. So the public kind of got that in a raw sense that we haven't necessarily seen as obviously before, and seen, you know, things like what looked like might have become a brawl on the floor of Congress this time around. So that's kind of a surprise to Americans. But if you really delve into the history of Congress, and there's actually been some books on the problems with fighting in Congress, particularly, again, that period from the outset of American government to the Civil War, that, you know, it was not uncommon to have brawling on the chamber floors. So that part isn't necessarily new. I think the, you know, Americans are maybe paying a little bit more attention to politics because we're curious as to what's going on. We're curious about, you know, who's going to be in control, and therefore we're paying more attention. And so we're seeing things that maybe we just weren't aware of. But I don't think that outside of the fact that we've got those weak majorities when it comes to control of both chambers, I don't think that this is something that's necessarily super new. It's just new to Americans who are paying attention.
And how does this kind of compare to other country, other democracies, I should say?
Well, my primary look at that has been watching parliamentary proceedings in the House of Commons. The House of Commons is a little bit more vocal than the American Congress typically is. And because you have a difference in the way the government is run, the party who is in the majority decides on policy, and so they pretty much run things. And then what you see in televised chamber proceedings is the other side disagreeing with the position of the majority party. You know, I don't think it's fair to say that the American Congress is just about the politics of things more than it is the policy. That happens. It's just we don't see a lot of that because that goes on behind closed doors. It goes on in committee actions. If we see something, it's the hearings that committees are conducting. But in the hearings, you're not getting the debate. I'm teaching the American Congress class this semester, and the first thing that we're going to look at is the meaning of the word Congress. And Congress is about debate. And so that's purposeful. So to not have members talking to each other and discussing things would be antithetical to really the purpose of what Congress is supposed to do.
So, you know, this week, the whole kerfuffle over who the speaker is kind of in the past now. Historically speaking, in, you know, speaker fights for who is going to be the speaker, and we have these multiple votes, you know, historically, looking at those years where there was a very contested vote, what happened with Congress in the years following?
That's a really good question. I would have to go back and research that a little bit. You know, the country held together until 1861, so things were certainly moving forward. And I think once, you know, you have to separate the issues from the issue of choosing a speaker as well. So was the problem the plain politics, but then they got on board with policies when it came to working with the dealings of government? Or was it an issue where there were concerns about the direction the party was going to go in terms of policy? And I think it was more a situation where there were questions about the person who was going to be speaker and what that meant further down the road for leadership, as opposed to necessarily we disagree with the policies of that person.
Now, when the House is this almost equally divided, I think it's I can't remember the numbers in terms of the division between party right. lines, but, you know, when it's that kind of divided and one party's kind mm-hmm. of fractured, what is it that generally tends to happen? Is the majority party, even though it's fractured, still able to kind of, you know, assert its will?
Well, I think we have to look at recent history to understand that, and that means looking at the last Congress. The Democrats didn't have a very strong majority, and there were some issues with some of the factionalism in the Democratic Party trying to get some policies through. You didn't maybe necessarily pay as much attention to what happened in the House as opposed to the Senate, where the majority was decided by the vice president in her role as president of the Senate. But there was still fairly close maneuvering between the different factions within the Democratic Party. You know, this time around, the majority is even more narrow. You have some of the people, and I'm thinking in particular in New York, there were some seats that turned from Democrat to Republican. That's probably indicating that some of those districts are perhaps more purple, and therefore what those legislators do when it's an issue that could go either way is going to be really interesting. I think it's going to be very difficult for the Republicans to really show the power of their majority on anything that is controversial.
Now, you know, from your perspective and, you know, looking at the role of Speaker, is there anything unprecedented about this upcoming session? I mean, I know when you and I last talked, we had talked about kind of predicting the midterms, and mm-hmm. I feel like now that the dust has settled, that in of itself was unprecedented yeah. in what happened. So does that unprecedented nature of the midterm set up a potentially unprecedented Congress this year or the next couple years?
Well, I think there's a connection between the two, but I'm not sure that set up is necessarily quite the right term. It certainly indicates that if the Republicans thought that they were going to carry a majority and that majority was going to be sufficient to support a specific agenda, I think in some areas, they're probably going to be disappointed. They're just not going to be able to carry the majorities needed to pass certain things. So when it comes to something that all Republicans can agree on, or even that is bipartisan, then there's not going to be a problem. If there's something that either a factional group doesn't agree with, or there are concerns about certain members voting a certain way because of their constituencies, then you're going to have a problem.
Now, has there ever been, I guess a devil's advocate to Mr. McCarthy, has there ever been a House minority leader that seemed to do much better than the House majority leader, or the Speaker of the House, I should say?
Can I give you specifics? No, but off the top of my head, I'm sure Henry Clay would have been that person
I'm kind of dumb. Who was that?
Henry Clay was, he became Speaker in the House, I believe, in 1811, and he was a man that was so popular and revered that he was voted Speaker of the House his first day in the House. Mm. He had not served in the body before. He was a Virginian by birth. He had been trained by a signer of the Declaration of Independence in law, same man that taught Thomas Jefferson and John Marshall. So And then he moved to Kentucky, and so his base of support was there. And he wielded enormous power up to the Compromise of 1850, so for about 40 years. And he served in other positions as well. He was Secretary of State for a while. He was the presidential candidate in, I want to say, the election of 1844, but I could be wrong about that. So, you know, he's somebody who, when his party did not have the majority, definitely carried weight just because of who he was. And so, you know, it's definitely possible for those things to happen. I think Nancy Pelosi carried quite a bit of weight when she was the minority leader, and she had been the speaker, and then she went into the position of being the minority leader. So, you know, that certainly can happen. Now, do I see it necessarily happening now? I don't know enough about Hakeem Jeffries to necessarily say how powerful a speaker he will be, or I'm sorry, how powerful a minority leader he will be, but he's definitely following in the steps of somebody who knew a great deal about both the majority and minority sides of working in Congress.
So, because I don't know a lot about this, and I feel a lot of our listeners don't, I think what I'm taking away from all this is that, you know, despite all the public fighting that we've seen over, you know, the past weeks, month, you know, however long this has been going, both sides have nothing to look forward to.
I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I just think there's going to be anything that is really controversial is going to be a problem in the House. What will be interesting to see if the Senate doesn't become more a driver of policy, because with the exception of revenue bills, everything can start in the Senate. So do we see the Democrats doing more in the Senate and then trying to put pressure on the House to pass legislation that they've already passed? So I think that that's something that we might look towards, particularly if it's something that has strong support from the president as well. Then you've got two parts of the three parts certainly working together. And if there's enough of those in the House that don't necessarily feel like they have to vote along party lines or don't feel like they can vote along party lines because it will be a problem for their constituencies, then we may see some unexpected achievements happening.
All right. Thank you for joining us this morning. Once again, that is Associate Professor of Political Science at Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. Kim Casey. I'm Jeremy Werner, and this has been your morning conversation right here on KXCV KRNW.